Well, we're in part two of Overwhelmed. Amen. How many people were blessed last Sunday? Amen. Somebody say next week. Next week, my pastor is going to be in the building, Pastor Matthew Thompson. Amen. Hallelujah. You want to be in church. This man of God has taught me so much to this day. Every Thursdays, we pray together. How many people know pastors ought to pray together? Amen. His father is my bishop, and we're like brothers. Amen. He's the pastor of the largest church in all of New England, and he happens to be my pastor, my friend, my buddy. We're family. Man, we talk about everything. We're boys. Amen. We hang out. He's going to bless you. Amen. And then somebody say Sunday, the fourth Sunday. The fourth Sunday, I'm going to speak on unbreakable. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you are unbreakable. If you have Jesus in your inside, you are simply unbreakable. And I'm going to show you, according to the word of God, that you are unbreakable. We're going to give you little papers, and you're going to write your petitions on that Sunday. We're going to bring them to the altar, and we're going to believe God for miracles. Amen. And on that Sunday, as you leave, I'm going to stand on that door, and we're going to anoint every single body in this place. Amen. Bring your friends, bring your mothers, bring your cats, bring your dogs. We're anointing everybody. We're going to anoint your cats. We're going to anoint Ray Ray, everybody and their friends. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Thank you, Jesus. So glad to be in the house of God. There we go. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read together. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel. That's a threat. Tell somebody that's a threat. Verse 3, here we go. Elijah was afraid, and he fled for his life. He went to Beersheba. Wow. Somebody say, wow. Wow. Now say it backwards. Wow. Wow. Somebody's thinking too much. Y'all pray for me. What goes on in my head is crazy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. One day I watched a movie, a Lifetime movie. My wife loves these white Lifetime movies. She's over there. Crying. I don't like them Lifetime movies. Kind of sad. But watch this Lifetime movie, and there was a lady in this Lifetime movie. She was Christian. She was married, had 4 kids, and she was having an affair and cheating on her husband. One day, she had a dream, and she was so convicted in this dream that she woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning and began to cry. And she woke her husband up, and the husband went to the bathroom. She was crying in the bathroom. And she told the husband what had been going on. And, of course, he was broken and all that. After that, I went to bed. And I woke up in the morning at around 5 o'clock. And I heard my wife crying in the bathroom. So I'm half asleep. I'm waking up and I'm like, oh my God, that movie was about me. Who is he? Is he Spanish? Is he black? Is he white? White dude with blue eyes? I mean, oh my God. I'm panicking. I thought I was going to die. I'm just, my heart is ripped. I mean, my blood pressure rose from 0 to 15,000. My God, I was going crazy. Then I remember thinking to myself, okay, I'm going to gather some strength, go to the bathroom, and face the music. And as I was trying to get up, I touched my wife. She's in bed. She wasn't in the bathroom. She was right there in bed with me, sleeping, as gorgeous as she looks. You know, I'm one of those creepy husbands. I wake up and I just stare at my wife. I waited for this for a long time, y'all. Come on, somebody. I take it all in. Come on, come on. Let me teach you. You young bucks here, you got to take it all in, baby. I celebrate my wife. I smell her hair. She's like, why are you sniffing me? I love my wife's smell. And so she's right there. She's not crying in the bathroom. But somebody is crying in the bathroom. So I got up. I'm still terrified, still believing some crazy stuff. So I got up and went to the bathroom, and it was Sarah in there. She had a runny nose, tissues everywhere. She wasn't crying. She was just wiping. She's just in there helping herself out, tissues everywhere. And there I was with a heart attack thinking, my wife is cheating on me. Can I give you a tweet? Most of what overwhelms us is based on us believing a lie in our minds. Most of what's killing you is the fact that you've believed a lie from the devil. Now, I'm not undermining your problem, but I want you to know what the devil does is that he will take your problem and he will capitalize on your problem. He will take advantage of your problem and he will multiply it times 1,000. And before you realize, you're overwhelmed. You're frantic, crazy, scared. I'm there in bed thinking, oh my God, I never knew this woman would do this to me. I mean, all these crazy things are going on. Ain't nothing there. She's in bed with me. The devil is a liar. Somebody say, the devil is a liar. This is what happened to Elijah. Elijah was already dealing with the problem. What was the problem? This wicked queen called Jezebel had sent out decrees that she was going to be killing every prophet of God. So Elijah is already dealing with the problem. But then Elijah gets a message, a problem on top of the problem that he's already dealing with. And the message from the enemy, the message from Jezebel, is that by this time tomorrow, I'm going to kill you. The first time he's dealing with a general problem. But this time around, there's a time clock attached to his problem. And she's so dramatic with it. Let the gods kill me. Let them strike me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you. And by the way, he never died the next day. That's just how the enemy operates. He's a liar. He magnifies the problem. By this time tomorrow, if I don't kill you, let the gods kill me. I'm going to kill you. She's swearing, I'm going to kill you. And before you realize, he is a prophet of God and he's frantic, he's scared, he's overwhelmed because he's believed a lie. That's exactly what the devil does. I'm not undermining your problem. You do have a problem. That's why you're overwhelmed. But the devil will come and multiply it. He'll begin to lie to you like he was lying to me in bed. This woman you married, she's cheating on you. This is happening. You'll never make it through college. Nobody likes you. Nobody loves you. Don't go back to that church. Nobody cares for you. You just turned 40. You just turned 50. You're going to get ugly. You're going to get fat. This is going to happen to you. Nobody's going to want you. Your kids won't love you anymore. They're going to leave you. This will happen. That's going to happen. You're going to get fired. Did you see how your boss looked at you? Did you see the way he stared at you? He's getting ready to cut you off. And then you're walking around. You're tired. You're sick and tired. You're depressed. You're popping some Prozac. And you're in trouble because the enemy wants to lie to you. I came today to defeat the lies of the devil in the name of Jesus. He's lying to you in your brain. He's lying to you in your cerebrum, in your medulla oblongata. He's lying to you. He's a liar. And there are people in this place you've wasted years because you've believed a lie of the devil. But I came to cancel the report of the devil in this place in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. The first thing you have to do when you're overwhelmed is don't isolate yourself. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, don't isolate yourself. Let's read verse 3 again. Verse 3 again. 1-3, go. Elijah was afraid and he fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. He left his servant. He isolated himself. He was so afraid, he left his servant there. Let's continue reading. Verse 4. Then he went on alone. Somebody say alone. One more time, alone. Turn to your neighbor one more time. Tell them, whatever you do, don't be alone. He went alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a what? Whatever you do, don't be alone. He removed himself. And here's how the devil works. Number one, he will threaten you. He will take advantage of your problem, and he will send a bad report to you. Whew. And then once you've believed the lie of the devil, here's what happens. People remove themselves. Once people have believed the lie of the devil, they stop coming to church. They are overwhelmed. They remove themselves from the house of God all of a sudden. I can't go to Thanksgiving dinner this year. I can't go to Christmas this year. You're separating yourself. You're isolating yourself. And here's what happens when you isolate yourself. Verse 4, he sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might. Somebody say, Do it in an African way. Say, here is a man of God, a prophet of God, and he's praying that he might. He's suicidal because he's believed the lie of the devil, and now he has isolated himself. And as soon as you isolate yourself, the devil begins to lie to you even more. They don't even like you. They don't care about you. They didn't call you. Now the devil has come. And you're committing suicide. The devil wants to get you. I love watching those discovery shows, right? There's a lion. The lion is getting ready to kill a gazelle. And it's always in a beautiful, exotic accent like mine, right? There's a lion. There's a herd of gazelles coming. Oh, my God. There's one gazelle isolated by itself. Look at the hungry lion going. There's Mufasa going for the lonely gazelle. And then all of a sudden, the lion bites the lonely gazelle on the neck. When you isolate yourself, the devil wants to bite the life out of you. He will get you. He will suppress you. He will make you miserable. So don't isolate yourself. Turn to your neighbor, tell them one more time, don't isolate yourself. People of God, talk about it. Talk to somebody. Tell somebody you hurt me. Tell them, I don't like the way. Talk about it. Christians, people of God, it's not a sign of weakness to go to somebody and say, brother, you hurt me. Are you so prideful that you don't want anybody to know that you're weak, to know that you hurt? Come on, somebody. Talk to somebody. Talk about it. I want to speak especially to the older generation. If you're over 40, over 50s, you were raised in a generation where people didn't really talk about stuff. If you're 60, forget about it. You just don't talk about it. Mama just said, hey, you're just going to just leave on. Just forget about it. You're going to get stronger. You're going to forget. And you're dealing with things. Why was daddy hitting mommy? Why was mommy doing this? Why was that happening? Why? And nobody wants to talk about anything. And you have a bunch of people in church who are hurting and depressed and overwhelmed. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them, please talk about it. Please talk about it. Yeah. People are going through the stuff that you're going through. There's somebody in this room who's going through the stuff that you're going through. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 5 verse 17, confess your sins one to another so you may be healed. Your healing is found in you talking about it. If you don't talk about it, it simply festers on the inside of you. And you can't undermine what's going to happen after this thing has festered on the inside of you. That's when people explode. Come on, somebody. Somebody was angry at a boss, and one day they showed up, and they've got a gun in their hands sticking up everybody in their office. What happened to him? He had stuff on the inside, and it exploded on him. He imploded. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, talk about it. Why should you talk about it? Because there's somebody else in this room right now who's already been through what you're going through. The devil wants you to think you're by yourself. There's somebody in this place who's going through what you're going through. There's somebody in this place who've known what it means to live with a man who's cheating on you, living with a woman who's cheating on you, living with a, you know, just in grief, depression, sad, going through stuff because you lost somebody. I heard the Lord saying something to me, and I hesitated a little bit because I hear the Lord saying there's somebody in this place who's grieving a child that they lost. But God is telling me to tell you that there's somebody else who's gone through it. As painful as it is, there's somebody else who's been through the same situation that you're going through. Tell somebody, talk about it. Statistics are clear. Statistics are clear that 50% of people, even in the house of God, have gone through a divorce. So it's clear that there's at least 50% of people in this house right now that are married that are struggling. Talk to somebody else about it. Yes. Hallelujah. Statistics are clear that there's a lot of men that are looking at the wrong stuff on the computer. Very clear. Talk about it. It does not make you a weak Christian. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm going to take my time today and I'm going to go there. Talk about it. Talk to somebody. It doesn't make you a weak person. Watch what happens to Elijah in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 14. Let's read that together. I'm just going to go ahead and read. He replied again. This is Elijah speaking to God. I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left. He's having a little pity party. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me. And here's what God says to him. Verse 18, yet I'll preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him. God was saying to Elijah, you think you're the only one. Get over it. There's 7,000 other people who haven't bowed down to Baal yet. There's 7,000 other people that are going through the same thing. And I want to kindly and respectfully say to you today as a pastor, get over yourself. There's somebody else who's going through the same thing that you're going through right now. You can talk to somebody, speak to somebody. Don't isolate yourself. Don't kill yourself. Talk to somebody. Yeah. Talk to somebody. Come on, look them in the eye and say, talk to somebody. Why are you doing this, Pastor? Because we have a bunch of people in the house of God that are hurting, and they won't speak to anybody. Elijah was not talking because he had a reputation to protect. Remember, he had just killed 450 people. With his bare hands, called down fire from heaven. Ah. Spoke to the sky, told the sky not to rain, and there was no rain. Spoke to the sky again, told it to rain, and rain came down. So he had a reputation. He was a powerful prophet, probably on TV. He had New York Times best-selling books. Come on, somebody. He had three books. The first book was called How to Call Down Fire from Heaven. People are buying this book. Second book, how to strangle 450 men with your bare hands. Third book, how to speak to the sky and tell it not to rain. He was on top of the world. He has a reputation. He was so powerful. He had servants. The Bible says he left a servant on the side, which means he had servants. He had an entourage. But here's a prophet. He just finished doing great things and amazing things and all this awesome stuff. He has all these New York Times best-selling books. He's on TBN. He's on CNN. He's doing all these amazing things. But now he is depressed and he has a reputation to protect. He can't even tell his own servant. He's hiding. He's sleeping under a tree, suicidal. I want to ask you in this place, are you so concerned about protecting your reputation at the expense of your personal health? Come on, somebody. Do you worship your reputation so much that you'd rather die, lay down under a tree, suicidal, and you just can't talk to somebody else? Talk to me, somebody in this place. Are you so religious that you'd rather die on the inside than tell somebody else that I'm hurting on the inside? I'm struggling. Something is eating me up. Are you concerned about protecting your reputation? And let me just say this to you. When you come into a prophetic house like this, I already know what you're going through. I can see right through you. Help me, Lord. All right, pull back, brother. Pull back, African brother. Talk talk to somebody. I remember the first time we had a baby, our son Zenzo, 9 years old now. We were in the hospital there getting ready to deliver the baby. There was a nurse in there, and she was just mean. I didn't like the way she was talking to my wife. I was like, we can't deliver like this. Imagine how I said it, right? We can't deliver like this. We can't deliver like this. Whatever you do, don't ever do anything with a person that's not in agreement. So I got my anointing oil. I started praying for that nurse. I said, God, send this nurse out of this place in Jesus' name. As soon as I finished that, there was a new crew of nurses who came. Hey, we're here to relieve you. Oh, look at you, little baby. So cute having a baby of your own. I was like, yeah, now we're cooking with gas. Now we can deliver. We're ready to deliver now. Now we can do this. Let the other nurse go out. I didn't like her makeup anyway. This other nurse had nicer perfume. Come on, can I just be real up in this place? All mean and everything. And this nurse was just nice. She was like, honey, just breathe, honey. You can push. You can do this, honey. And all of a sudden, my wife is getting in the zone. She's getting the courage to push. And then one time, she got a little discouraged. And this lady was just like, honey, come on. You can do this. And my wife is like, I can't do this. I can't. She's like, no, you can do it. Come on, breathe. You look so awesome. You're doing a good job, Michelle. Come on, push, honey. Push, honey, push, honey. Push, honey, push, honey. You're doing a good job, honey. Push, honey, push, honey. Push, honey, push. You're doing a good job, honey. I see something over there. I looked over there. I ain't seen nothing over there. I ain't seen nothing over there. She's like, push it. So you're almost there. You're almost there. You're almost there. All of a sudden, poop, that little alien baby's out. Like, I want to tell you the reason you're overwhelmed is because you need a friend inside of you in your life who can say, push, honey, push, honey. Push, honey, push, honey. Push, honey, push, honey. You're almost there. You're almost there. Your miracle is almost there. Come on. Somebody who's got a friend, a girlfriend who can pray with them. Come on. Somebody celebrate in this place. And I want you to come to Impact Church every Sunday because this African preacher is here to say to you, push, honey, push, honey. Something is about to break forth. Push, honey, don't give up in the name of Jesus. You're victorious, you're prosperous. Somebody shout, I receive my miracle. Don't isolate. You need somebody with you. Somebody shout, hallelujah. Next thing you need to do when you're overwhelmed is stop and eat. Stop and take care of yourself. Stop and eat. Tell your neighbor, stop and eat. Stop and take care of yourself. Let's read verse 5. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. Tell your neighbor, get up and eat. Stop and eat. Stop whatever you're doing and eat. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. The Bible says Elijah has done all these great things. Remember, he's killing people. He's calling down fire from heaven. He's on top of the world. He's saving everybody. He's just going. His schedule is so full. He's got servants. He's just going. He's just going. He's just, and I want to tell you the reason some of you are overwhelmed is because you're just going and going and going and going. Now, you've built a reputation. People are looking at you. The guy who's reading all these New York Times best-selling books, people are like, we want more. We want more books. And now you're trying to do something else new, something, and you're going and going and going, and everybody's pulling on you, and you're going and you're going. And this time, he's miserable. He's under a tree, and an angel comes and says, get up and eat. You haven't eaten. You've neglected yourself. Get up and eat. And I just want to say something here. I just want to add this. Here he is laying down. Elijah is laying down under a tree. And the Bible says an angel taps him and says, get up and eat. The angel had prepared a meal for him. And I want you to know you're overwhelmed and you're going through all this. But I want you to know that in this place where you are, God has an angel for you. Come on, you missed a good place to say amen. God's got an angel for you. God has got a way of preparing a miracle for you in the midst of all this craziness. The angel says, rise up, get up, and eat. Stop whatever you're doing and eat. Woo! Some of us in this place, we're overwhelmed because we're carrying everybody on our back. You got your mama on your back. You got Ray Ray and them on your back. Ray Ray needs to take care of himself. He needs to get a job and take care of himself. You got people taking advantage of you, and you're just carrying them on your back. You're going, you're doing all these things and conquering mountains and doing all these things. And some of you are so obligated. You've got people on your back you're carrying. You're carrying your mother, carrying. You don't even feel like you can do anything for yourself because you're carrying everybody. And some of us are so super spiritual. We've been raised up in legalistic communities that we feel guilty to do anything for ourselves, and we are dying. Get up and eat. I want to speak to mothers here. Mothers, let me say this to you. Sometimes the best thing you can do for your kids is to just let them go and pray for them. If you're going to clap, do it well. Now, I'm not saying neglect your kids, especially if they're grown up. You've taught them. You've taught them about the Word of God. You've been preparing them and teaching them and telling them all these things. And they just go back and they do their stuff. And then they come back to you. Mama, I need more money. You're taking care of them. You're taking care of their grandkids. You've become Santa Claus at your house. And they're just taking advantage. You've become an ATM machine at your house. They're taking advantage of you and doing all this thing. Once in a while, you need to just say, okay, you know what? You need to get over there and I'm going to pray for you. Sometimes what you need to do for crazy people is to refuse to be crazy like them. And just say, okay, y'all take care of this. I'm going to pray for you. And let me speak to my cultural people here. Some of you are overwhelmed. You're sending money to Brazil, sending money to Haiti, and all these people are just riding on you, and you feel guilty. When's the last time you had a manicure and a pedi just for yourself? Go get some ice cream. Stop and eat. Take care of yourself. Woo, Jesus, help me. So I've got a Greek word for the mothers in this place, and the Greek word is called Jamaica. Get ready, you're going to Jamaica this year. Get yourself a bikini. Yes, that's spiritual too. Some of you are so super spiritual, you've even forgotten. Get yourself a bikini. That's not a tongue. Go and take your husband. Go to the Caribbean. Leave those kids back home. Because some of you, what you've done is while you've been overwhelmed and carrying all those bad people, you've been neglecting your husband. You've been neglecting the important people in your life. You've been neglecting your kids. So it's time for you now to take yourself to Jamaica and go worship Jesus in a reggae style. Go do the hula hoop. Amen. Go do the praise Jesus. And go worship Jesus in an island style. Come on, somebody say, Jesus in this place. Go worship Jesus in a reggae style. Take care of yourself. Because if you don't stop and eat and take care of yourself, you're not going to be any good for anybody. If you don't stop and eat, two things will happen. One, you will die. Two, you will die very skinny. Stop and take care of yourself. It's spiritual to take care of yourself. Come on, somebody. I want to help somebody in this place. So can I be honest in this place? Come on, somebody. You've been in the house of God for a long time. And I know people who are angry at the church because you've burnt yourself out serving in the house of God, and now you're mad at the church. And what I've learned is that workaholics always get offended with people whose lives are in balance. Getting upset at people. I'm the only one working in this company. I'm the only one saving this company. If it wasn't for me, this company won't be saved. You guys are over there taking vacation after. Well, who told you to save the company? And if you're going to do it, be happy about it. Who told you to save the church? Impact Church is not going to be in trouble without you. God's going to raise somebody else in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. You can take that to the Bank of North America. You do your part and serve from the cheerfulness of your heart. Some of you are working in companies and you've spent yourself over and over. You've done degree after degree and position after position, running, doing everything, and you're angry. Because you haven't stopped and eaten. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, stop and eat. Come on, tell them, stop and eat. Put your life in order. You know, we overrate busy people. Oh, he's a busy person. He's so important. What do? You're so busy. Well, some of those busy people need to be honest with you and tell them, oh, what I do is I destroy my marriage and I'm not healthy. I can't sleep in the night. I'm messing up my life. That's what I do. Stop and eat. Take care of yourself. Young people, can I speak to young people? You need to stop and take care of yourself. You know why? Because your today is a product of yesterday, and your tomorrow is a product of your today. Well, I'm going to explain that. You're where you are today because of what you did yesterday. You're going to be where you're going to be tomorrow because of what you're doing today. So if the job that you're working today, if you don't like that job, if you don't see yourself doing that job when you're in your 60s, don't spend all your money today with food and going to the mall. Because if you don't invest in your future now, you're going to be doing that same job when you're in your 60s. And there's just certain jobs that are fun to do when you're in your 20s, but they're not fun to do when you're in your 60s. I'm going to just leave that there. No, let me say one more thing. I get miserable seeing old people doing teenagers' jobs. There's nothing more heartbreaking than that. You know why? Because they mismanage their season. The money God's giving you now is to invest in the future. If you don't invest it in the future, you're going to be doing that same thing you're doing now in the future with four kids at home and a wife who's not happy. I want to save you guys. I want to save you young people. Can I be honest? Is that okay? And this is not just for young people. God's given you this time. Invest it into your future. Whatever you're doing, get another degree. Pursue something else. Dream again. Write a vision. Write something fresh. Don't stop here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Here's the final point. We're going to send you home. Third point. Forget the past and focus on the future. When you're overwhelmed, forget the past and focus on the future. Let's read verse 7. The angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more. Woo! Get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead of you will be too much for you. Eat some more, or the journey ahead of you will be too much for you. Eat some more, or the journey ahead of you will be too much for you. Can you see Elijah? The angel woke him up for the first time to eat. And he ate. And he went back down to sleeping, suicidal. Because Elijah thought the angel was waking him up to eat his last supper. He eats and he lays down again. He is a man of God. He has changed the world, protected the nation, called down fire from heaven, spoke to the skies, done all these miracles, all these amazing things. And now he's laying down. Can you see him? Laying down under that tree, suicidal, miserable, overwhelmed, by himself, without his entourage and his servants. All the people who he has helped have gone, and he's there by himself, bitter. He's eaten his last supper, and he's laid down again. But the angel came. Thank God for the angel. The angel comes. Oh, I'm getting excited. The angel comes and said, Elijah, wake up, eat again for the journey ahead of you. You mean there's a journey ahead of me? Yes. He's there thinking it's all over for him. But the angel says, eat again because I'm not done with you. There's more mountains to climb. There's more battles to fight. There's more ministries to build. There's more things to come. And God told me to say to somebody in this place, you think he's over with you. You think he's done with you. You think you're finished. You've done it all. You fought. You think you're done. You think you're finished. And God told me to tell somebody in this place, get up and eat, because God is not done with you. It's not over until he says it's over. He's not finished with you. Get up, rise again. There's more mountains to climb. There's more miracles to perform. There's more things to do. Rise up. God is not over with you. It's not over until God says it's over. Come on, somebody celebrate in this place. Somebody rise up in this place and celebrate the miracles that are coming. God is not over with you. I hear in the Spirit of God, God saying, I feel in my spirit, God saying that marriage is not over. I feel in my spirit, God saying that thing is not over. I feel in my spirit, God saying that sickness is not gonna kill you. I feel in my spirit, God saying that son is coming back home. That daughter is coming back home. I feel in my spirit, God saying it's not over for you. Get up and eat because God has got more in store for you. God is not done with you. There's more things for God to do. Elijah laid down because he was focusing on the past and the misery of the past. When you're overwhelmed, you need to stop focusing on the past and focus on the future. Focus on what God has for you. I want to encourage somebody in this place who's grieving. You've lost somebody and you're grieving. The enemy will come, begin to bite on you and depress you, telling you how the years you've lost and this you've lost and this. He's going to bring you back in time and make you focus on the past. You've got to fight. I say, I thank God for the years I had with my daddy. I thank God for the years I had with my mama. I thank God for the years I don't understand it all, but I thank God, and I'm going to look to the front and all that God has for me. When you're overwhelmed, shift your focus and focus to the future. That's what happened to me. I told you my story last week. Went through a difficult time, having panic attacks. I fell on stage leading worship, got lost, didn't know where I was, didn't know what I was doing. The room was spinning. I was in trouble. And I remember thinking to myself, maybe this is it for me. Maybe this is it for me. I've gathered thousands upon thousands of people. I've done some amazing things. I've had an amazing ride, but maybe this is it for me. Maybe this is it for you. And I remember thinking, this is it. And I heard God saying, get up. It's not the end. It's only the beginning. I've got something else called Impact Church, and you've come to the beginning of it. This is not the end for you. Come on, I hear somebody in this place crying out, thinking it's the end. Maybe this marriage is over. Maybe I'm done over here. Maybe I need to just go back to Brazil, go back to Haiti, go back to Africa. I hear God saying it's not over for you. This is just the beginning. God's got something new for you. God's got something fresh for you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Ah. What are you doing, Pastor? I'm waving goodbye to my past. I'm waving goodbye to my past. And I'm welcoming my future. I'm welcoming my future. I'm welcoming my future. Thank you, Jesus. I'm welcoming my future. Come on, I'm welcoming my future. Goodbye, past. We had a good time, those many tears, but God's now drying my tears. God's drying my tears. The new has come. It's not over. This sickness is not going to kill me. It's not over for me. There's more that God has in store for me. There's more that God's bringing. There's more that God's doing. There's many things that are happening. Now begin to celebrate God for your future. Begin to see yourself in the future. Begin to see yourself blessed. Begin to see yourself prosperous. Begin to see yourself blessed.